been described in two verses. It says that material nature has two features, namely the material cause and the efficient cause. The efficient causal activities are caused by Mahavishnu, and the material causal activities are caused by another form of Mahavishnu, known as Advaita. That Advaita, the superintendent of the cosmic manifestation, has descended in the form of Advaita Acharya to associate with Lord Chaitanya. When he is addressed as the servitor of Lord Chaitanya, his glories are magnified, because unless one is invigorated by this mentality of servitorship, one cannot understand the mellows derived from devotional service to the Supreme Lord, Krishna. Text 1. Vandetam Srimatat Veita Charyamat Puta Cheshtitam Yasya Prachalatakyopi Tatsvarupam Nirupayet. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Advaita Acharya, whose activities are all wonderful. By his mercy, even a foolish person can describe his characteristics. All glories to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Advaita Acharya. And all glories to all the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In 5 verses I have described the principle of Lord Nityananda. Then in the following 2 verses I describe the glories of Sri Advaita Acharya. Mahavishnur Jagatkarta Mayayajak Sri Chatyadaha Tasya avatara evayam Advaita Acharya Ishvaraha. Lord Advaita Acharya is the incarnation of Mahavishnu, whose main function is to create the cosmic world through the actions of Maya. Advaitam Harinatvaitat Acharyam Bhakti Samshanat Bhaktavataramisham Tam Advaita Acharya Mashraye. Because he is non-different from Hari, the Supreme Lord, he is called Advaita. And because he propagates the cult of devotion, he is called Acharya. He is the Lord and the incarnation of the Lord's devotee. Therefore, I take shelter of him. Sri Advaita Acharya is indeed directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. His glory is beyond the conception of ordinary living beings. Mahavishnu performs all the functions for the creation of the universes. Sri Advaita Acharya is his direct incarnation. That Purusha creates and maintains with his external energy. He creates innumerable universes in his pastimes. By his will, he manifests himself in unlimited forms in which he enters each and every universe. Sri Advaita Acharya is a plenary part of that Purusha, and so is not different from him. Indeed, Sri Advaita Acharya is not separate, but is another form of that Purusha. He, Advaita Acharya, helps in the pastimes of the Purusha, with whose material energy and by whose will he creates innumerable universes. Being a reservoir of all auspicious attributes, Sri Advaita Acharya is all auspicious for the world. His characteristics, activities, and name are always auspicious. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Sri Advaita Prabhu, who is an incarnation of Mahavishnu, is an Acharya, or teacher. All his activities and all the other activities of Vishnu are auspicious. Anyone who can view the all auspiciousness in the pastimes of Lord Vishnu also becomes auspicious simultaneously. Therefore, since Lord Vishnu is the fountain head of auspiciousness, anyone who is attracted by the devotional service of Lord Vishnu can render the greatest service to human society. Rejected persons of the material world who refuse to understand pure devotional service as the eternal function of the living entities and as actual liberation of the living being from conditioned life become bereft of all devotional service because of their poor fund of knowledge. In the teachings of Advaita Prabhu, there is no question of fruitive activities or impersonal liberation. Bewildered by the spell of the material energy, however, persons who could not understand that Advaita Prabhu is non-different from Vishnu wanted to follow him with their impersonal conceptions. The attempt of Advaita Prabhu to punish them is also auspicious. Lord Vishnu and his activities can bestow all good fortune, directly and indirectly. In other words, being favored by Lord Vishnu and being punished by Lord Vishnu are one and the same, because all the activities of Vishnu are absolute. According to some, Mangala was another name of Advaita Prabhu. As the causal incarnation, or Lord Vishnu's incarnation for a particular occasion, he is the supply agent or ingredient in material nature. However, he is never to be considered material. All his activities are spiritual. Anyone who hears about and glorifies him becomes glorified himself. For such activities free one from all kinds of misfortune. One should not invest any material contamination or impersonalism in the Vishnu form. Everyone should try to understand the real identity of Lord Vishnu, for by such knowledge one can attain the highest stage of perfection. So Sri Advaita Acharya is especially important to all of us because it was due to his divine compassion that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared and distributed the holy name of Krishna in every town and village. He did it in India in his personal form, and throughout the world through his pure devotees who serve Him. Especially through His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, who is known as Senapati Bhakta, or the Commander-in-Chief in the Transcendental Divine Force of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to dispel the forces of Maya, the forces of illusion. Perhaps that's the most important attribute of Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu, that he is responsible, by his mercy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Doya koro sitapati, which has sung, doya koro sitapati Advaita Goshai, tava kripa pole pai Chaitanya Nitai. We pray for the mercy of Sri Advaita Goshai, the husband of Srimati Sita Devi, Sitapati. Tava kripa pole pai Chaitanya Nitai. Because it was only due to your mercy, Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu, that Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended to this world together with Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Sri Nityananda Prabhu came to assist Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in that sense, it was due to the prayers of Sri Advaita Acharya that Sri Chaitanya and also Sri Nityananda descended to this world to distribute the transcendental mercy of Krishna's holy name. And the description is given in different sections of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, how Sri Advaita Acharya wanted to spread the message of divine devotion among all kinds of people. But he saw that people were very much entangled in material activities, in all kinds of shapes. Some will be involved in very gross sensual activities, others will be worshipping, performing Vedic rituals with a mundane mentality, desiring attaining material perfection and elevation to higher material realms within the universe. Others will be performing all kinds of tantric practices, rituals, to not tantric in the Vaishnava sense, because it is like deity worship is Vaishnava Tantra, and that's pretty much recommended, but tantric practices to pretty much in the mode of ignorance, trying to achieve material enjoyment, trying to influence other people for their own personal purposes in terms of gaining money, followers, fame, and so on. So Sri Advaita Acharya saw that all kinds of people were engaged in everything, all kinds of activities, but pure devotional service to the personality of Godhead. So, Advaita Acharya intended to make them into devotees, but he saw there seemed to be no hope. And he decided that unless the Supreme Lord in person would descend and propagate the cult of devotion, there would not be a transformation within society. And therefore he started to worship the Lord by, he remembered a verse from the scripture that says that if one worships the Lord with Ganga Jal, with Ganges water, and Tulsi leaves, with devotion, the Lord becomes very pleased. There is nothing else that pleases the Lord as much as a simple offering of Ganges water and Tulsi leaves, offer with bhakti, with love and devotion. So then he started to worship the Lord in the form of Shalagram in this way. And he was calling to the Lord, calling him to descend. And the term uses humkar. Humkar means crying out, shouting in a very strong voice, calling the Lord, Hari, Hari, like shouting, the holy name Krishna, Govinda, Gopal, very, very loud. We can, I don't know what the neighbors, can we show? Can we? Yeah? They will not get upset.
If it's not too long.
If it's not too long. With moderation. Hari!
Hari!
Not too long?
Not too long.
It's not too long. Okay.
Just for some time.
Govinda!
Govinda!
Gopala!
Gopala!
Srimadusudana!
Srimadusudana!
Advaita Chai was singing the Lord's holy names, calling him to please come. And in some sections of the descriptions of the Leela, it is mentioned because Sri Advaita Acharya is actually an incarnation of Mahavishnu, as we just read, and also he's an incarnation of Sadashiva. Sadashiva is the form of Lord Shiva in the spiritual world, which is actually, according to Brahma Samhita, Lord Mahavishnu's glands. You may have heard that Mahavishnu impregnates material nature by glancing over nature. And then, but Mahavishnu never touches material nature directly. When he touches material nature, he touches material nature through his form of Sadashiva. And then he becomes transformed into Lord Shiva. So in that sense, he is Lord Vishnu, and at the same time, he is not Lord Vishnu because he becomes involved with material nature in some way. He becomes the husband of material nature, and therefore he is worshipped as Shiva and Parvati, Lord Shiva and Parvati Devi, the father and mother in this world. So Lord Vishnu and also Lord Shiva, the Lord says, they have the spirit that these people are sleeping, these souls are sleeping for so long, and they don't seem to be willing to wake up. So basically he told the Lord, if you don't come and do something about it, I want to destroy the whole universe. Like as in the moment of annihilation, the universe is destroyed. And why it is destroyed? Basically, it is like a mother, when the child is crying, 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 the mother gets fed up and says, no, okay, to sleep. Isn't it? Takes the child and puts the baby to sleep. So similarly, when the conditioned souls are rotating, when they are rotating again and again through the material world, birth after birth after birth, finally it comes the time of annihilation. And then Mahavishnu withdraws the material universes. The universes enter into his body, and in the form of Lord Shiva burns down to ashes the whole universe. So Sri Advaita Acharya had this mood. And therefore he was crying out. He was crying out of compassion on the one hand, and on the other hand, out of transcendental anger that if you don't come and want to do something here, this is not going to remain like this. So there was this double mood. This double mood is possible to coexist in the transcendental personality of Sri Advaita, because actually his name, Advaita, indicates non-dual. And the real meaning of non-duality is that the personality of Godhead is present, and all the transcendental attributes can coexist, even if from the material point of view it will be a contradiction. How somebody can be compassionate and angry at the same time? It's not normal. Can you think of an angry person who is compassionate?
But it seems he was... the object was different. The object of the compassion are the poor souls, and the anger is... How can you... the anger was towards the Lord. How can you tolerate them suffering?
Well, that would be one way of understanding it. Also, it can be understood that he was angry that you sleeping souls, fools, why don't you wake up and serve the Lord? The Lord is waiting for you. You are missing all the nectar of devotional service. You fools, wake up. But because his mission, although he is Vishnu Tattva, his mission was to invite Sri Krishna, Avatari, the source of all incarnations, to come and to personally perform his lila and to deliver the souls by personally acting as a pure devotee with the highest symptoms of divine love, the love of Srimati Radharani, and to manifest those pastimes for the transcendental pleasure of the whole universe. He is known as, Lord Chaitanya is known as Vishvambhar. He is the deliverer, the sustainer of the universe. And he sustains the universe not with material force. The universes are sustained materially, the planets and so on. But actually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's sustenance of the universe is with pure love of Godhead. As a mother nourishes the child, the baby, with her milk, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself, with the divine love of the Supreme Mother, Srimati Radharani, Srila Prabhupada described Srimati Radharani in some occasions as the universal mother. But she is the universal mother, not in the material sense, like Durga. Right. Durga Devi is providing the material necessities. And is also punishing the conditioned souls to help them wake up. But Srimati Radharani is the divine mother, the universal mother, giving bhakti, pure bhakti, shuddha bhakti, for the benefit of the conditioned souls. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, with the love of Srimati Radharani, waking up all the sleeping souls. And all this took place by the divine mercy of Sri Advaita Acharya, who appeared as a senior, as an elder, in Chaitanya Lila. Sri Advaita Acharya and Sri Haridas Thakur are among the elders of Lord Chaitanya. Also Sri Jagannath Mishra, Lord Chaitanya's father, Srimati Sachi Devi, Sri Nilambar Chakravarti Thakur, Lord Chaitanya's maternal grandfather. So many elder personalities appear before Lord Chaitanya. And from those personalities, Sri Advaita Acharya was the personality who directly invited the Lord to come. He was the, like when there is a deity installation, there is the acharya. The acharya, who, acharya meaning the guru or the spiritual master, the senior Vaishnava who performs the ceremony, and there is one part of the ceremony is called prana pratishta. It's the installation, calling the Lord to descend and to enter into this world. So Sri Advaita Acharya performed the prana pratishta ceremony to call Lord Chaitanya to this world. And therefore we are especially indebted to him. There are three Prabhus, supreme Prabhus, great masters, to whom we are indebted. Sometimes they are described in Gaudiya Vaishnava literature as Teen Prabhu, the three Prabhus. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, and Sri Advaita Prabhu. All of them are Vishnu Tattva. They are, all of them are God himself in different expressions. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, Svayam Bhagavan, in his original form, with the sentiment, with the mood of Srimati Radharani. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is the first expansion of the Lord, Sri Baladev, and Sri Advaita Acharya is Mahavishnu Sadashiva. And when the Lord descends, actually he does it through the Purusha Avataras, and therefore Sri Advaita Acharya, he is the Bhakta Avatara, he is the Avatara, he is the, in charge of the descending of all the different incarnations of the Lord. And therefore he plays the role of inviting Krishna in his personal form to descend to this world. And he also, when the Leela is finished, he tells the Lord, okay, now you can go back. There is a beautiful section, very esoteric section, of Chaitanya Charitamrita we find it in Antya Lila at the end of the pastimes of the Lord, where Sri Advaita Acharya sends him a quote message to Lord Chaitanya, telling him, okay, your mission is fulfilled, now you can go back. Everybody has become mad. Everybody has become mad, no? He meant mad of love of Godhead. Not mad like in Amsterdam, in Amsterdam city. People become, not only in Amsterdam, and from Spain in Madrid also. Madrid, actually the name, Madrid. Get rid of the madness. Madrid. Krishnadas Swami Maharaj will say that. He came to preach there. He always will look at the etymology of the words. He will try to find some Krishna conscious meaning. In Barcelona there is the Ramblas. He will say, oh, this is Rambilas. The Buddhists will do Harinam. Ramblas. It's the main pedestrian street in Barcelona. Rambilas, the Leela of Lord Ramachandra. And in Madrid, he would say, people here are mad. Madrid, get rid of the madness. In Amsterdam, I don't know. Amsterdam, Dam, it's a Dam, the holy Dam of Lord Chaitanya, giving mercy. Amsterdam. What means Amsterdam? What's the meaning? It's any locals?
A dam on the Amstel River, I think. Amstel, a dam on the Amstel River.
Dam meaning? Like,
yeah, or dam, Rotterdam. Yeah. Something to do with that river. Dam, you know what's a dam? Yeah.
Dam.
So on the border, of, like, or situated on,
because
the,
it's building, and it's built
on, around the river.
Under the sea, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But of course they had to make dikes for the river, so dam, dike.
The first dam means dike, would be like dike.
Yeah, okay. Aswan dam.
Anyway, I do remember reading that when Srila Prabhupada came here in the, was early 70s or late, early 70s, he saw people were so crazy. It was, of course, the time of the counterculture. People were so mad that Prabhupada said, not much philosophy here, just chant Hare Krishna and prasadam. I don't know if it's still the same. Is it the same or no, people are more thoughtful or? No. What the? It's a joke, eh?
City of sin.
Hmm?
City of sin.
City of sin.
Yeah, but there's also many devotees.
The station is better.
Many intelligent persons become devotees. Maybe not, you know, very minority, but still.
Ah.
They have t-shirts, Amsterdam.
Amsterdam.
Yes, but the station feels better. Because when 5 years ago I came at the station, I felt this weird energy and it's more white.
Oh, they renovated the station.
Maybe.
So you see some progress in the city.
Yeah, because so much Harinam.
Yeah, that must be.
Yeah.
Harinam and the Queen's Day, it's like a big celebration. And Kadamakarana Maharaj brings the buses from all over Europe to counteract the madness of the town. But anyway, no, in Kali Yuga, every big city is more or less crazy. And we were discussing last night in Utrecht that actually more or less we are all crazy. I mean, okay. And Harmod Preshek Maharaj recently was mentioning how actually if we diminish the percentage of madness, then we're doing pretty well. Because the condition is always crazy. Trying to enjoy the material objects as the goal of life, this is actually madness. It's madness, isn't it? We try to squeeze ananda, divine happiness, from places where there is not. Only mad people can do like that. And therefore there are so many kinds of mental illnesses that are there, all kinds of diagnoses, from all kinds. I mean, there's a very broad range of madness. But also, there is divine madness, and this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach. And actually, in this final lila, is there the Baula section. Some Sahajas are also named Baula. Sahajas meaning in India there are different groups. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur identify about 13 groups of materialistic devotees who engage in material activities on the name of divine experience, and they warn us not to do the same, to be careful. But still the term Bhavula, the original term Bhavula, which later on degenerated in India, that term is used in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. I'll read this section. It's a very beautiful section, actually. So it's somewhat confidential, but basically it shows how, like, Sri Advaita Acharya invited the Lord to come, and then Sri Advaita Acharya, when the Lord's mission was fulfilled, requested, said the Lord, no, as you wish, you can go back if you like. You don't have to stay any longer. So this happened when Jagadananda Pandit, one of Lord Chaitanya's close associates, went to Navadvip and met Srimati Shachidevi, and also he met Sri Advaita Acharya. And Sri Advaita Acharya sent a message to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was in Jagannath Puri performing his Lila of chanting the holy name of the Lord with great transcendental emotion in the association of his associates in Puri. Jagadananda Pandit thus went to Nadia, and when he met Shachimata, he conveyed to her all the Lord's salutations. So he brought messages back and forth. He then met all the other devotees, headed by Advaita Acharya, and gave them the prasadam of Jagannath. After staying for 1 month, he took permission from Mother Sachi to leave. When he went to Advaita Acharya and also asked his permission to return, Advaita Prabhu gave him a message to deliver to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Advaita Acharya had written a sonnet in equivocal language with an import that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand, but others could not. In his sonnet, Advaita Prabhu first offered his obeisances hundreds and thousands of times unto the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He then submitted the following statement at his lotus feet. And this is it's called the sonnet, the Krezi, the sonnet, the song of the Krezi, the Bhavula. Bhavula ke kahi ka loka hai la Bhavula, Bhavula ke kahi ka hate navikaya chaula. Please inform Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is acting like a madman, that everyone here has become mad like him. Inform him also that in the marketplace, rice is no longer in demand. Financial crisis, nobody's buying anymore. Finish. So it means everybody was full, and no more rice, and no more, don't give me more, we're satisfied. And then continues, Bhavula ke kohi kakaye nahi kaula, Bhavula ke kahi kaiha kohi yache Bhavula. Further tell him that those no mad in ecstatic love are no longer interested in the material world. Also tell Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one who has also become a madman in ecstatic love has spoken these words. So this was Sri Advaita Acharya. So he said he was also a madman. When he heard Advaita Acharya's statement, Jagadananda Pandit began to laugh. And when he returned to Jagannath Puri, Nilachal, he informed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of everything. After hearing the equivocal sonnet by Advaita Acharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quietly smiled. "That is his order," he said. Then he fell silent. Although he knew the secret, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Lord Chaitanya's personal secretary, inquired from the Lord, "What is the meaning of this sonnet? I could not understand it." But he actually got it, but he pretended not to understand. He wanted to see what the Lord would say. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Advaita Acharya is a great worshipper of the Lord and is very expert in the regulative principles enjoined in the Vedic scriptures. Advaita Acharya invites the Lord to come and be worshipped. And to perform the worship, he keeps the deity for some time. After the worship is completed, he sends the deity somewhere else. I do not know the meaning of this sonnet, nor do I know what is in Advaita Prabhu's mind. Advaita Acharya is a great mystic. No one can understand him. He is expert in writing sonnets that even I myself cannot understand." Hearing this, all the devotees were astonished, especially Swarup Damodar, who became somewhat morose because he saw the Lord's Leela is coming to an end. So then he became morose. From that day on, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's emotional state changed markedly. His feelings of separation from Krishna doubled in intensity. As his feelings of separation in the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani increased at every moment, the Lord's activities both day and night were now wild, insane performances. So we see how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was obeying to the orders of Sri Advaita Prabhu. Sri Advaita Prabhu plays the role of the superior of the Lord, and yet is his subordinate devotee who comes, God himself as devotee, who comes to prepare the environment, everything, for the Supreme Lord in his personal Svayam Bhagavan form coming to perform his divine mission. So we are very indebted to Sri Advaita Acharya, and we can take the opportunity to pray, especially today. Every day we can pray to him, but especially today, his appearance day, pray for his mercy, so that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will become fully manifest within our hearts by his hunkar, by his strong calls of compassion and also anger against our nonsense. He's calling the Lord. So we can pray to him, "Please invite the Lord to enter into my heart and to dispel all ignorance, all mundane madness, and establish divine madness within the heart." Comments or questions?
One question. Can you explain you already mentioned about Lord Shiva and Sadashiva, how they are different. But then there is something called as Shiva Tattva, which is, I believe, Lord Shiva. And as you mentioned, Advaita Acharya is Vishnu Tattva. So what is this difference?
Yes, Srila Prabhupada explains in, if I remember correctly, it's in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's in one of the of his Bhaktivedanta purports that Shiva Tattva is actually it's a special tattva in between Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva. So Vishnu Tattva is God with all his attributes, and Jiva Tattva is separate Vibhinamsa, separated expansions of God. So Shiva Tattva is not a separated expansion, and it's not exactly Vishnu Tattva, God with all his attributes, separated from material nature. It is a special tattva in the middle of the two. And therefore sometimes in Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, I don't have the exact reference, but it is quoted sometimes by preachers that there are three tattvas which are very difficult to understand. And these are Jiva Tattva, Shiva Tattva, and Guru Tattva. Because they are very, very confidential and in one way complex, particularly for the human mind. If we try to understand through philosophy, it is not possible. But what we can do is by hearing with attention what the scriptures say, at least we can get an appreciation of what it is about. In this case, the Shiva Tattva. So it is actually, Brahma Samhita describes, it's Lord Vishnu's glance. So in that sense, Sada Shiva is the glance of Lord Vishnu. In that sense, there is no difference between Vishnu and Shiva, Sada Shiva, because Lord Vishnu and his glance are non-different. But then when touches material nature and becomes more involved as the principle, the Shambhu principle, the generative principle of creation, and becomes the father of the living beings, Shiva and Parvati, father and mother. In that sense, there is an involvement, there is a difference from Vishnu, in that he touches, he gets involved with material nature, and he rules over the ahankara, or the false ego of the living beings. So it's, but as we said, it's difficult to fully grasp. We are small jivas. Our jiva can understand higher tattvas, unless the Lord reveals. In as much as the Lord reveals, then we can understand. But we can at least appreciate what the scriptures say about tattva.
Shekhar, in the Avasampradayas, and is it correct? And also the statement you made about Amsterdam, Srila Prabhupada's taxation of the situation, which is. So, is it. I don't know if these Avasampradayas also have to do always with devotional service combined with sense gratification, but it seems Srila Prabhupada, he then observed it. And I was just wondering, if we preach in such places like any city, as you mentioned, not only Amsterdam, so how can we stay free from the contamination?
Yeah, I mean, the worst thing is not, of course it's not good that devotional service mixed with sensitification. It is not good. That's what it is called, Mishra Bhakti, or mixed devotional service. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila speaks about that, or different types of mixers in devotional service. But the worst thing of the Apasampradaya is that there is philosophical and theological justification for that. This is what it makes it worse. if somebody is affected by Maya, but acknowledges I am affected by Maya, and takes a humble attitude, like, and wants to rectify that, that's a good attitude. Not to be affected by Maya, but to be willing to correct that. At least there is recognition of where we are at. But if I am affected by Maya, and at the same time I pretend to be in the intimate circle of Krishna's associates, like the gopis, that's actually a great insult and a great offense to the Lord and His eternal associates in the spiritual world. So Apa Sampradaya is very much concerned with the deviation, the philosophical and theological deviation, and the justification of improper attitude and behavior. At least we should acknowledge, when we have improper attitude, we should acknowledge, I need to correct this. Then there is hope to get out of that entanglement. But if we do not acknowledge, and not only that, but we try to justify it by creating a philosophy, and we propagate such philosophy, it is actually a great disservice to humanity, because we are taking people to lower regions of consciousness, to hellish dimensions of consciousness. So therefore, our acharyas were very strong against Apa Sampradaya, because of the great harm that creates for human society. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidim Vina Aikantiki Harer Paktir Utpatayaiva Kalpate. Devotional service which does not follow scriptures, Shruti Smriti Purana, it's actually a great disturbance in human society.
So, this is quite pertinent to the situation in Holland. Many devotees, there are some devotees who strongly advertise we should also talk about and chant Srimati Radharani's name. Not talk about Srimati Radharani and chant her name, and maybe they, but they don't back it up. So I mean. Or Srila Prabhupada, he, I don't know.
Well, I mean, Srila Prabhupada did refer to the Vrajavasis, for example, in his book Elevation to Krishna Consciousness. He will refer to the Vrajavasis that in Vrindavan, devotees sing more the name of Radha, Radhe Radhe, to call out for her mercy, because they know that if Srimati Radharani recommends a devotee, it doesn't matter how foolish that devotee is, then that devotee will have access to him, to Krishna. Krishna will accept. And in some of his lectures, Prabhupada will explain that. On the other hand, we should chant Srimati Radharani's name, especially as Srila Prabhupada taught us to chant it. And that's through the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Srimati Radharani, we call out to Krishna. Krishna, Rama is another of Krishna's name. Radha Ramana, Hare Govinda, Jai Jai. So we call out to Krishna and Krishna's names by calling out first to Srimati Radharani. Hare Krishna. So first Radharani, Radha Krishna. But we shouldn't invent ways of doing it. It is more safe to follow the ways taught by the founder Acharya. That's not to say that there is no place sometimes. Like Prabhupada also will sing bhajans. There are some bhajans. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan. So we can sing those bhajans. That's very, very uplifting. But we don't need not to chant Radhe, 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 and no Maha Mantra Hare Krishna today. So we should especially chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
Yeah, I'm just going to take it down a couple of notches, a little bit less complicated for me. I'm getting confused with the word tattva. Tattva, I understood, meant truth.
Yes.
And the confusion is the first time I heard the word was with the Panchatattva, and we've spoken today. You spoke about three of them. Why are they all together? Like it's like for me, it seems like it's a team of people that were on earth at the same time, like the six Goswamis. But is that a mistake or not?
No, I mean, it's Panchatattva, it's the truth in five.
Yeah.
Prabhupada will say the truth in five features. The supreme truth in five features. In Sanskrit, you may remember from Bhagavad Gita, there is, in chapter 17, the invocation for the supreme truth, it is done in the essential transcendental words, Om Tat Sat. Om Tat Sat. That's the way of calling out to the Supreme Truth. Tat means, literally means that. 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 That literally means that. But means that, not in the sense, in the ordinary sense, it would say, give me that. Not in that sense. That, like an ordinary object, but that in the essential sense, meaning the real substance. What is the real substance? That, which has reality. And that va, the literal translation of that va will be that-ness. That-ness.
N-E-S-S.
Yeah. Which basically means the essential nature of the truth, of the substance. We were discussing 2 days ago at the college, at Bhaktivedanta College in Radhadesh. There was a course about one session on educational studies. One of the degrees we offer is on education. And we were looking into the origin of the universities. And in one part of the discussion, it came out that the values of the university, is a place where there is a search for truth. But the real truth is God, Tattva. So, Panchatattva means the truth, the God, in five features.
And were they on earth together, as a team kind of thing? Or why do we worship them together, like the six Goswamis also together?
Why we worship them together?
Well, kind of, yeah.
Because they are a team, yeah.
They are a team, they were.
Right. They are the best team in a spreading a pure love of Godhead.
Okay, so when you
In Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Adilila, there is a section. Actually, in chapter 7, the chapter we read today was from chapter 6, The Glories of Advaita Acharya, and chapter 7 is entitled Lord Chaitanya in Five Features. And the description is given that the Panchatattva, they were dancing, singing and dancing the holy names of the Lord together as a team, and they will distribute the love of Godhead without discrimination. They didn't consider who was qualified, who was not qualified. Who was worthy, who was unworthy. They didn't care. They will give it to everybody.
Okay. So the Shiva Tattva and Jiva Tattva, that's not more personalities, it just means a specific type of truth.
Yeah, this is actually, it's God's energy, Krishna's energy. So, for example, it Panchatattva means Shri Shri Radha Krishna, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shri Krishna as a devotee, the pure devotee in the highest expression as Srimati Radharani. Then the expansions of God as a devotee, Shri Balaram is the first devotee, because basically what he's revealing, as we read also in the beginning, Shri Advaita Acharya was revealing that the real spiritual experience becomes magnified through service. Even God himself enjoys that transcendental mellow of serving. So Sri Nityananda Prabhu is God, the expansion of God as a devotee. Sri Advaita Acharya is the incarnations of God, avatara, bhakta avatara, as a devotee. Sri Gadadhar is the shaktis, the energies of God, bhakti shakti, bhakta shakti kam, as a devotee. And Sri Vastakur is the jiva tattva in its purest or their purest expression. And therefore he's described as an incarnation of Sri Narada Muni, who is empowered with divine bhakti. When the jiva becomes absorbed in divine service, becomes actually following the path of Narada Muni, we belong to the same cyclic succession, Brahma Narada. So, and they work as a team. So it's God in all his expressions as a pure devotee. Is that okay?
Thank you. Oh yes, sorry, one more. Purusha, what does that word mean? Because you mentioned it in the very beginning of the class.
Purusha actually means person, but there is the Purusha refers to the soul, but here is when in this term Purusha refers to the Parama Purusha or the Supreme Purusha, the Purusha Avataras. Mahavishnu is the big person, the big Purusha. Also Purusha means enjoyer, because person means enjoyer. We are meant to enjoy. But to enjoy properly, we need to connect with the Supreme Enjoyer. Then we can enjoy properly. If we don't connect to Krishna, to the Supreme Enjoyer, we are deprived also of our essential enjoy, capacity to enjoy, because we enjoy through supplying enjoyment to the Supreme Enjoyer. That's our nature. Like the finger enjoys the food or the result of the food by supplying the food to the whole body. And then the energy comes back to the finger. If the finger tries to enjoy separately from the body, then becomes very tired. And even if it's totally separated from the body, it stops being a finger, becomes rotten. So our divine nature of divine enjoyment becomes covered when we don't serve the Supreme Enjoyer through pure devotional service. Wow, it's 9:20. We said 9, okay, it's fasting, so I guess it's... So I guess we'll stop. Okay, last point.
Narad Muni, it is not a position like Brahma, or it is a... It's an eternal, this thing, right?
If he has an eternal position as Narada Muni?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a liberated soul, Sita, so he's... Although he's described as Satana Sita, we see from the scriptures how in previous life he was engaged differently as a Gandharva in the heavenly planets, then as the son of a maidservant, and then he became the great sage Narada Muni. But now, as the great sage Narada Muni, he is eternally perfect. He is now Nitya Siddha.
So it's not like we always hear Lord Brahma, or for that matter any other demigods, Indra, and their positions. Living entity, Jiva, depends on how many pious deeds that soul does. He can get to that position of Brahma or Indra. But similarly, one, it's not like that.
Narada Muni is not a position, it's a personality. Although there is no reason why the Lord cannot have similar devotees, similar sages. Like, for example, we read that Narada Muni travels with a, he has a very good friend, Parvata Muni, who travels with him. So, we can also, if you feel attracted to become Narada Muni, it is no, it is not like in the professional world, there are oppositions, you call oppositions? In I know the Spanish term, I don't know in English. Oppositions means that there are, for example, five positions, and there are 10,000 people applying to the positions. And they do exams. Oppositions, they call?
Competitors, maybe.
No, but you mean there's a limited amount of places to be called?
In Spain they call it oposiciones, opposition. It means...
selection.
Actually, opposition means to oppose somebody. Because there are so many that you have to compete to get the post. So they do an examination, and the five people who get the highest marks, those get the position.
Familiar with the
so it is not that, okay, Narada Muni, there is no place for you, you cannot do like him. You cannot be exactly Narada Muni, we follow his footsteps, but you can do as he does, no problem. He's Acharya. So we can sing the glories of the Lord wherever we go. This is what he teaches what to do.
Can I please ask one little question?
Okay.
I had Markandeya on the phone last week, and I had a hard week, and he told me, yeah, people who chant the Maha Mantra, they have all these obstacles. People who are with Krishna, they get all these obstacles in the material world. And he told me people who chant Om Vishnu or Ganesha or something like this, or they follow Shiva, they have nice lives. And I was like, okay, I do Om Vishnu, Om Shivaya Namaha. And I did Om Ganesha, Om Ganga Navataye Namaha. And I was like, oh, maybe then the blockings go away. But is this okay to do when you are with Krishna, or is this not good?
No, it's it's better. Sometimes people argue like that, and in India that's quite common. People say, Krishna is very crooked. You don't know. Krishna sometimes he gives, sometimes he steals. Like he was stealing butter from the gopis. So sometimes people are scared, in India particularly, scared of Krishna, what Krishna, he's very naughty, what he's going to do to me. And Lord Shiva, they say, okay, play safe, worship Lord Shiva, you will get money. Because Lord Shiva is known as Ashutosh. Ashutosh means he's very easily pleased, also means he's very easily displeased, so one should be careful also. So people think, if I worship Lord Shiva or Ganesh, then I will have a better material position.
Yes.
But actually, the material position, that's actually a patchwork. By trying to get a good material position, we are not really solving the problems of life. Because Krishna has certified in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says, uses that expression, Krishna certified, Namu Petya Punarjam Madhukalaya Mashashvatam. The material world is by nature a place of suffering. Yes. So even if we worship whoever demigods, we get some temporary benefit, but then we have to die. Suffering will be there. It's unavoidable. And it is a misconception. Sometimes the misconception has spread that Krishna will not take care of you as well as Lord Shiva, but that's not true. Lord Shiva is Krishna's bhakta. Vaishnavanam yatashambhu, the Bhagavatam says. And Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, Ananyas chintayanto mam, yechana paripasate teshamritya vidyuktanam, yoga kshemam bahamyaham. It means, to those who worship me without any other loyalties, ananya, ananyas chinta, no other loyalties. Don't say, okay, Krishna is not giving me what he has. Just in case Krishna fails, start singing Om Namah Shivaya or Om Ganapati Namaha.
No, that's not it. It's served of the servant. So I think it's maybe grace of Shiva is other, why is different than grace from Krishna. And because he's devotee of Krishna, I thought, yeah, it's maybe okay then to do greetings to Shiva.
Yeah, if we want to pray to Lord Shiva, we should pray to him for bhakti, for devotion, not for material things.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best attitude. Some, you know, it's becoming fashionable that people mix everything up and so on. But Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, will not recommend such approach. Even devotees, even the worship of Ganapati or for Lord Ganesh is recommended in Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, to destroy obstacles in bhakti. But because Prabhupada knew the mentality of people in India and people of Kali Yuga, he said he didn't emphasize Ganesh worship, even though it's written in Nectar of Devotion. But he told disciples, if you want to worship Ganesh, you should give as a donation, because he knew Ganesh gives lots of money. You should give, what's a big amount? I forgot if it was $10,000 or $100,000 every month.
Oh, every month?
Every month. Prabhupada said, because he knew these people, they want to start worship Ganesh, they will get money and they will forget Krishna. So Prabhupada said, the rule is, if you worship Ganesh, you have to give this amount every month. That's the price.
Thank you very much. Then you answered my question, because I did it to remove obstacles for bhakti.
So if we pray to remove obstacles for bhakti, that's different. That's fine.
And the singer there is also a deity for that?
It's the Ganesh expansion of Norma Singhadev, that's why we worship.
Yes, Prabhupada describes him as a devotee of Lord Nrsingadev.
So Srila Prabhupada said we can also turn to Lord Nrsingadev to remove obstacles on the path of bhakti.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, when we take shelter of Krishna for whatever problem we are facing, Krishna will give us what we need. If we need something, he will give. If something is harmful, he will not give it. So Krishna will discriminate. He will say, no, I will not give. If I give money to this fellow will forget me. So I will not give him any money, because he will get in trouble with money.
So not what we want, but what we need.
Yeah, exactly. He will answer to our prayers, but with great care and love for our own benefit. If he sees that we can manage, we can have money and don't get intoxicated by the money, then he will give money, no problem.
In Srimad Bhagavatam I read that sometimes Krishna fulfills desires and then after some time takes that away again. Awesome.
He fulfills desires and then?
And then afterwards takes it back.
That's up to him, yeah, he's the boss. If we shouldn't be scared about that. Because he's the boss, so and he's the good boss. It's not the, like we hear boss is scary. Even sometimes we compare Krishna as the supreme father. In Kali Yuga, many times the fathers don't do their job very well. So we say, oh, the father is feels like my father. So, but he's the best, the best boss, the best father. He's concerned with our welfare, always. Okay, so we will continue at 11 with the seminar. Thank you very much for your participation and for giving me this opportunity. Hare Krishna. Shri Advaita Charya Prabhu ki jai. Shri Advaita Pibhava Mahottava ki jai. Shri Shri Gauranitai ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveta Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Nittai Gaur Premanande.
Jai.
Yajnanda Namaskar.
Jai.